All right, I ready to go. Are you ready to go?
I ready to go.
Okay, coming up on TMS, what kind of garbage are you?
Brian gets his coccyx looked at.
People don't want to see how I wrote that out.
No, they don't. They can imagine now, though.
Yeah. Star Wars does right by a fan.
Fallout 4 hits a record in one day.
MST3K coming back.
Snoopy Poopy Poop Dog in the news.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Drug lords are launching weapons of terror. We must fight back. Your telephone is linked to my weapon system.
They have not invented a condom for the mind.
You guys want some sandwiches? This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. I'm just about to crack my voice there. So my voice is still a little janky from the trip.
Yeah, mine is enter Janky Town.
Yeah.
Who runs Janky Town?
Master... What's a good term for Master Blaster? Couldn't think of one.
Master Lodgins runs Janky Town.
There you go. Brian finally let his BlizzCon cold settle in, so good job on that.
Yeah.
Congratulations. I knew that was a long time coming. Took a few days, but there it is.
No, yeah, just, you know, you gotta sometimes you just gotta sit back and let it happen.
I understand. It's fine. You've only had a very little small recovery time. Refractory period, you might say. Since the last time you had a cold.
Oh, since the Dragon Con crud.
Mm-hmm. Each con, one cold.
I know. Maybe that's it. I'm done. No more cons. I am not going to leave the basement. Mm-hmm. I will be attending virtually, and I'm going to work with those guys. We're going to create a little Brian hologram in a funny suit. We'll press a little button. Oh, there's the hat.
Hi, guys. I'm here in my basement, and I'm 3D printing an item. I hope you like it.
Yeah, I would watch your 3D hologram broadcast.
Perfect. I'm done with that. Perfect.
It's Wednesday, November 11th, 2015, and as we hurtle through November at a frighteningly fast pace, I'm here to tell you that we're excited to be back for another show. So thanks for coming. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for watching, listening, and live folks and people at home alike. We love you all. Brian, I got a quiz for us.
Great. I love quizzes.
Quizzes
are
fun.
I'm not going to look at this. Or do I do it?
We're going to both do it.
Okay.
We'll answer simultaneously so we get an answer or we get a result at the end. Okay. Before we do that, I want to make a quick mention. Liz Moses. I think I want to say that that's how you say her last name because it's spelled like Moses, you know, with the...
How else would you pronounce that?
Well, I don't know. It's like...
Moses.
Moses. I know Moses is a common thing in some Latino families, so I'm not sure.
It's not like the Jesus versus Jesus pronunciation.
No.
It's Moses.
Yeah,
it's
just
Moses.
I think it's just straight up Liz Moses. Anyway, it's funny we were talking about religion because she religiously follows the podcast. I was told by her husband. Her husband's very sweet. Sent us a quick note, and I wanted to just make sure I mentioned this. And they met us at Nerdtacular 2014.
Yeah.
So about a year and a half ago, and she just passed an NCLEXRN exam. I think that's like a nursing exam. And this is after failing it multiple times and will soon start her life as an actual registered nurse.
Fantastic. Yeah, I couldn't even spell NCLEXRN.
All right. Would you? That's a great acronym that doesn't spell
the
anything.
NCLEX.
Actually, that
she
is.
She passed the NCLEX.
This is true. Isn't this truly an acronym and not an initialism?
Correct. Yeah, because unless they pronounce it. Well, if you pronounce it NCLEX.
Oh,
RN.
Then it's an initialism.
Then it's an acronym because you pronounce it as a word, like
scuba.
Oh,
it's the other way. Okay, so it should be, so if you don't pronounce it, then it's an initialism.
If you say it's the NCLEXRN, then it's an initialism. It's not even that. It's just a bunch of letters.
All right. Well, I just wanted to give her a shout out and tell her congratulations. That's huge. We love to hear when our listeners make big strides in their lives and things that they are trying to accomplish, goals they're trying to meet. And Liz, congratulations. We're happy for you. Brian, let's do this quiz. Are you ready for this thing?
I'm ready. Hit me with the quiz. Quiz me.
What piece of human garbage are you?
Okay.
All right? So
That's not the question first, though.
No, that is not the first question. I wish that was just the question and we had a single answer, but sadly it's more complicated.
All right, good. We're gonna delve into this.
Yes, so we've all had days where we feel like just a piece of crap, right? We're just a piece of garbage. and we don't even know what that means. So what kind of garbage are you exactly is the quiz. Here is the questions. Let's start with, what is your typical Thursday night? Is it A, in bed by 10? B, oh, I'm not doing B.
Which you gave me a hard time about yesterday.
I did give you a hard time about that.
Yes, and I told Tina. And really, Tina is the reason that I'm in bed by 10, because Tina's in bed by 10. She has to get her sleep.
Yeah.
And she fights anyone who does not. When she was gone for those 2 weeks, mm-hmm. it was rare that I got to bed before 11, 11:30.
Oh, yeah. You were a night owl during those days.
The Bachelor Brian is a night owl.
Maybe that's what messed you up, made you wake up at 4:30 every day or something. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, I did sleep all the way through the night today, though.
Oh, fantastic. That's good news.
Oh, it felt so good.
You can thank your cold. So...
in bed by 10.
Oh, yeah,
in bed
by
10
on Thursday. Oh, I went to bed by 10 last night. So that's, I just want to make that.
Oh,
I was exhausted. I was so tired. Yeah. I just couldn't do it. All right. So that's the first option. Next is late night at the office. This is all a typical Thursday night. Next, a jog around your neighborhood, video games, a romantic dinner date, night at the movies, Mexican food and beer, walking your dog, or testing a new recipe. I'm going to say video games.
Yeah, see, I guess, I mean, I hate saying in bed by 10, but that is sadly typical. We'll do Mexican food and beer, though. I mean.
Yeah, but on Thursdays, don't you raid? So I think you play video games.
Oh, right. Raid is, yeah. Typical Thursday night. Thanks, Fert. I get to not have to be the fuddy-duddy. Video games.
I helped you dodge a tweet from Tet, right? See, I just did a Tet thing when I said right at the end. We love you, Tet. What is your go-to breakfast food? Black coffee, donuts, McGriddle, blueberry pancakes, avocado and toast, bran muffin, granola and fruit, grits, eggs, and bacon. I'm going avocado toast. That's the thing I eat a lot.
Good. If it looks like that, I'll totally do that. But, yeah.
But what do you typically do?
You know, I mean, I do coffee, but not black coffee. I guess eggs and bacon is my go-to.
All right. Click that one. Mm-hmm. 18% risk to cancer. Just kidding.
18% increase.
I know. It's such a dumb relative. They never tell you the relativity on that.
Right.
Exactly. It annoys the poo out of me. If you guys want to have a really eye-opening experience, they did a special on the media about these numbers, about the processed meats thing. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. It's literally like, instead of one out of every 1,000 people at risk, it's like now 2 out of every 1,000 people who eat a bunch of bacon. It's ridiculous. Anyway, what is your favorite TV show out of this list, obviously? Black Mirror, The Bachelorette, Bob's Burgers, The Office, House Hunters, Girls, Man vs. Wild, Guys Grocery Games, holy shit, or Planet Earth. Planet Earth is your final one. So for me, of all of these, which one do I want to plop down and watch? It's Bob's Burgers, man.
It is for me, too. Yeah. I mean, The Office is close.
Yeah.
You know, Guy's Grocery Games, real close up there. Yeah. Love watching Guy Fieri in anything.
Oh, yeah. He's a real gangster, he says in his latest video.
Yeah, Bob's Burgers. Although, yeah. I mean, if I had to pick a second one just to get a different result, then I would say The Office. But
yeah, I would never pick Girls. I might pick Planet Earth, depending on my mood. Because I love that stuff. But Bob's Burgers.
But let's say I'm firing up Netflix. I only have 9 choices. that's what I'm going to.
Worst streaming service of all time. Imagine if that was the...
Shitflix.com.
Oh, Shitflix.
9 choices.
Shitflix. There's a comic in there. I got to think about that one. All right. What is your dream city? Oh, man. I think I might know where you're going to go. But it's not in here, so we're okay.
Oh, no.
Los Angeles. New York City, Charleston, Paris, Tokyo, London, Denver. Oh, Denver. Portland or Rome?
Not my dream city. I'm going London. That, you know, like if, again, go anywhere in the world, 2 tickets, anywhere in the world, hotel paid for, whatever. I wouldn't choose Vegas. I would choose either London or Sydney, Australia.
I would choose, of these two, I really like Rome or Tokyo. I think I'm probably going to go Rome. Mm. So we'll go Rome.
Tokyo's interesting. Pretty bad. I guess you've been to Tokyo.
Yeah, I have. I loved it there. I was only there for a little bit, but I loved it. I loved that I couldn't sleep on this tiny bed they gave me. And in the middle of the night, I wake up to turn on some TV during the time that you and I would get infomercials from Cher or some bullcrap, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Instead, in their world... They had live coverage of a giant domino chain reaction setup
I remember telling you about this,
of old VHS tape cases. across the city of Tokyo, through buildings, outside onto the street, back through a building, upstairs, part of an elevator, down again. It was the weird, and it was all obviously no English, so I didn't understand what was going on. But right. That was the weirdest experience of my Asian life while I was over there. What is your favorite candy? Snickers, Twizzlers, Sour Patch Kids, Dark Chocolate, M&M's, Fiero Roca.
Rocher.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Jelly Beans, or Gummy Bears. All of these sound good to me, but I think I'm probably going to land on the Peanut Butter Cups.
Yeah, so like imagine, I guess you've got 9 barrels around you mm-hmm. with each of these things in there. Which one am I going to go for?
Yep. Which one are you going to buy a pound of and take it to the lady and feel guilty while you
right.
buy it?
I think gummy bears. I'm going gummy bears.
Oh, I love gummy bears too. They're great. Okay. Now it tells us, what piece of human garbage are you? I got movie ticket stubs. let's see. It says, if you haven't checked TMZ and Entertainment Weekly homepages by 9 a.m., you feel totally out of the loop. You're up to the date on the latest celeb gossip, and you have very strong opinions on what film should have won the 2009 Oscar. And oh my gosh, the new episode is so good. And did you listen to that new song yet? No. And what the heck are you all wasting all your time doing? Pop culture is your life. Okay, that's what it says.
That's pretty accurate.
That sounds kind of right.
Yeah.
I am into that. Okay, so yeah. So what'd you get?
I got a pair of dirty underwear. Some people might call you lazy, but you just call yourself relaxed. It's more time efficient to buy a new pair of underwear than to go to the laundromat to do your laundry. Why waste the water? Saturday is your favorite holiday, and your bed is your favorite vacation spot. Everyone needs to take a chill pill and just sit down every once in a while.
You know, it's not all that far from the stone here. That's not even a phrase.
The apple didn't fall that far from the tree.
What? Yeah, something like that. That's interesting. Someone else, you all should take this on the
So it's funny that, you know, our differences were avocado toast versus eggs and bacon and London versus Rome.
Yeah.
Oh, and gummy bears versus Reese's Cups.
Yeah.
Everything I don't know how any of those things makes you a movie ticket stub and me a pair of dirty underwear.
I don't. Well, and once again, I think this is all extremely arbitrary and probably pretty dumb, but it's fun to do.
Yeah, it is.
Brian, you went to the doctor yesterday. They looked at your bum. Tell me what happened.
I did. So, walk in, doctor. Well, I'm going to tell you his name.
Okay.
Dr. Glasscock.
Oh, shut up.
That is really his name.
Shut up. Are you being dead serious?
I'm being 100% serious.
I'll give him $50. He can go to the town or the local thing and change his name.
He's been our doctor for like the last, 15 years. No, longer than that, when Tina was pregnant. So, holy cow, like 20... maybe 25, somewhere between 20 and 25 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I'm going to believe
it. He's a really nice guy. Kind of like the nice older guy with a big beard and super, super nice, friendly, great doctor. Mm-hmm. Asking me, so tell me what happened. And I give him the description about falling down the stairs and how I landed and all that stuff. And he said, yeah, I was on the 30th and I had this trip that I went on. I thought, oh, maybe it'll go away before the trip. Maybe it's just a bruised, tailbone. And then had two excruciating 2-hour flights back and forth to back and forth from LA. And still painful. I said I'd go to the doctor as soon as I get back. So here I am. He's like, all right, well, go ahead and hop up on the exam table and lift the back of your shirt up. And he starts basically, he does the stethoscope stuff, listens to my breathing, all that nonsense. I think he has to do that just as part of his regular exam. And then he starts pressing on my lower back. All right. Any spine pain? Pressing. Nope. All right. How about down here? Goes a little lower. How about down here? Keeps going lower and lower. No, nope. Spine seems to be fine. All right. Good. Now stand up, get up front here and drop your pants.
Yes.
And then drop your underwear.
Yes.
A couple more presses on the gluteus maximus, and then out comes the gel.
Ah!
And he decides he's just gonna see how that tailbone is looking from the inside. Let's get a
Oh my god. gosh, yeah. You're having my worst nightmare. You're experiencing one of my least favorite things in the world. All right, so
just put your elbows on the exam table, Brian, and take a deep breath.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Was it like, whoa, you got the using the whole fist, Doc? Do you say that like Fletch
yes,
did?
Yes, I almost did that, you know, and sang Moon River, the whole Fletch thing. Like,
oh my gosh. Okay, so but I don't understand how is that a way to check the bone?
Oh, it isn't. It's a way to check the soft tissue around the bone.
Right.
Which apparently is severely bruised because, holy crap, that was, you know, he says, all right, well, let me know if you feel some pain. Yes!
Oh, my gosh. My God. I can feel it just you telling the story.
Yeah.
Ugh. So.
Not, but, you know, the whole time, that is how I'm talking. Yep. Okay. Yeah. That's painful right there. Okay. Yep. All right. Yeah, you stop touching it now, but I'm still going to talk like this until you pull out. All right. Thanks. Go ahead, Ice Worm. That's fine. I'll give you one. There's a freebie for Ice Worm right there.
Did he yank out, rip the glove off, flick it into a can, then run around the room going, I'm the ass man. He did not. Okay.
But it's great, you know, continuing the conversation with him while you're, you know, kind of, he shoves a box of Kleenex at you and says, here you go.
Here you go.
Here, that'll help you get the goo off. Like, so how much did you use?
They'd love that jelly.
You know what? You can use as much as you need, Doc. I don't care. That's fine.
Yeah. In fact, knock me out. Give me some kind of drugs or whatever. I don't want to be here. So did he, what's the prognosis? What did he say from that?
He said, you have severely bruised the soft tissue by your tailbone. Your tailbone isn't broken.
Oh, it's like a week and a half later. He's saying severely bruised even this much time later. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. He's like, it could be 4 weeks. It could be, you know, 8 weeks. Best thing to do is just pain manage with ibuprofen. Yeah. Lay on your side. Don't sit down for long periods of time if you can avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Damn, dude. Well, you didn't break it, and that's good.
I didn't break it.
But, and he doesn't, I mean, they didn't have to do x-rays or anything?
No, I asked him about these. He says, no, I don't think we need to do an x-ray. It doesn't, you know, when he was pressing on my lower back, he says, you'd be yelping in pain if it was broken and I was touching you on the lower back, upper bum area.
Upper bum area. Well, I'm very happy to hear that there's no lasting damage. You know, you don't have some bone splinter jammed into your quote-unquote soft tissue, if you know what I mean.
God, I know. It's like, while you're up there, can you just take it out? Take the tailbone out.
Yeah, we need that. Do we even need it?
We don't need it.
No.
You know, it'll probably make it more comfortable if I don't have the tailbone poking the soft tissue every time I sit down.
Yeah, I no doubt. Well, I'm...
Hey, could you look up there and see if you can find my phone?
Yeah, I haven't seen my phone in weeks. I keep getting taptic feedback
every
in there.
Time I keep feeling a buzz.
Yeah, what's going on? All right. Well, there's your boy. That was a great update. Fantastic.
Yeah. So there we go. It's just going to be a take it slow kind of thing. And
for the next few days, Brian is all. You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Vandalized.
I'm vandalized. See, this is why this show's great. We can come on.
My doctor is now my prison bitch.
Exactly. And
No, I'm sorry. I'm his prison bitch.
Yeah, there you go. I got it backwards. We can come on this show. Well, unless something else happened we don't know about. But we come on the show, and this is where we can let loose the terrible things that happened to us. So I'm glad that we've had this therapy time with each other, and hopefully that means less coccyx problems in the future. All right.
Oh, I just want to install a dumbwaiter. Right?
Yeah.
I don't even want to deal with the stairs anymore. Anywhere I can avoid stairs.
Is that what they're called?
I'm a Dalek now. That's what I am.
Is a dumb waiter? I thought they were the things that brought food upstairs. Isn't that how those work? What is that?
You can sit on a dumb waiter too. Like you can ride a dumb waiter. It's like those chairs that go along the stairs for...
Oh, for old ladies.
For old ladies, yep.
Yeah, okay.
And people in gremlins. Was it gremlins?
Where they set it off and she went flying up the steps.
Yeah, she went flying through like, right, all of a sudden the motor was...
Was that Gremlins?
I think it was Gremlins, yeah.
All right, well, my memory is soft tissue on that. Check this out. It is time for Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Brought to you by Coverville, where today we'll take a ride with the Cinnamon Girl and listen to an old man, a guy who just turned 70 years old, or is turning 70 years old tomorrow, Mr. Neil Young. An entire show dedicated to Mr. Neil Young. Covers, of course. Duh. Coverville. Today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time. Right here at coverville.com/live.
When you are a cover song of Neil Young, do you have to do it in the cadence of Neil Young?
No, it's better if you don't.
Okay.
So right. It's better. I mean, there's some, right. I've got a version of, what is it? It is, I'll tell you, because I'm super excited to play it. It's a cover of Heart of Gold that is like Memphis blues style.
Oh.
So good.
It's, that sounds all right.
Really good. So now, after the gold rush, don't let it bring you down. Hey, hey, my, my. Because
otherwise, all those end up, if you do it like him, you end up just sound like you're doing an imitation of him, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do have a cover of Like a Hurricane by Adam Sandler, but it does sound like the original.
Oh. Because
it's Adam Sandler doing his Neil Young voice. You are like a hurricane.
That was a pretty good impression of Adam Sandler doing an impression of.
I know. It was impressionception.
That was impressive. we have on the line with us Daryl Skills. Hello, Daryl. How's it going? What's going on?
What?
Not a caveman.
All right, Daryl. Hey, what's going on? What's going on, man?
I don't know.
You don't know? Hey, wait. You're not in as good a mood as you were yesterday. What's going on with that?
Oh, I don't know.
Yes. Wow. All right. Sounds good to me. Daryl is the Trek nerd. He comes on the show and answers hard trivia questions about Star Trek. Where's your phone right now? It sounds like it's in a garbage can on the floor. Where is it?
Oh, are we doing that again?
Well, I don't know.
What if I pick this up?
Oh, no. It actually sounds like you're with us. Yeah, that's much better. It probably looks better, too. I'm thinking if you have a phone like sitting down there and you're talking to it, your coworkers are like, uh-oh, call Janice from Human Services. Yeah. Well, Daryl, it's time for you to be stumped about a Trek episode, Next Generation style, and you'll love this one because it's an episode you hate. At least I think it is. It is from the Next Generation episode, The Royale.
Oh, I don't hate it as much as I used to.
With cheese. Riker, Worf, and Data get trapped in a hotel/casino on a planet. It turns out the hotel casino is taken from a book, and everything they have encountered is from the novel Hotel Royale, except he spelled it in this. Mike did Hotel Royale.
Hotel Royale.
Who is
really wants it to run.
Exactly. Who is the author of this book? Here are your options. This is very interesting. A, Todd Matthews. B, Stephen Barnes. C, Douglas Pabst. Or D, Burt Ryan. So it's Todd Matthews, Stephen Barnes, Douglas Pabst, or Burt Ryan. old Burt Ryan, you know him.
Old Burt Ryan.
Yep. So be thinking of those whilst we saunter over here. We haven't gotten new food in a long time.
No new food in a long time.
I don't know what's happening. Maybe we've
run out.
We should
all picked up something at BlizzCon to eat and then send to Daryl.
Yeah, we had. So, what were those white gummy bears I consumed that were fantastic from
Fat Heads or Milk Heads?
White Teds.
Right.
And I ate that whole bag. I'm pretty sure I gave
2/3 of a bag left.
I gave birth to the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, basically. it was pretty bad. Unleashed him on the city. So, Daryl, let's do one of these here sounds. Today in Star Trek history. Before we do that, though, the Oatmeal ran a comic that was all serious. Did you read that one?
Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't know any of that about Gene Roddenberry.
It's all true.
That's crazy.
And he was a police officer, too, for a while.
Wow. So do you think that experience on that plane informed his Star Trek point of view, like the way that the comic is suggesting that, you know.
Oh, I think maybe it had an influence, but he was always a writer even before that.
That's true, wasn't he? And this is all confirmed. That's a story that's real as far as we know.
Uh-huh. Yep. Okay. It's all true.
Wow. All right. That's worth reading. If anyone hasn't read it, the Oatmeal did it. It's pretty interesting. It didn't sound like this at all.
Hello and welcome to Universal Studios Star Trek Adventure.
Switch taps to ship's phasers.
Let's test the ship's phasers.
All right. Daryl, tell us what happened today. What's going on? What's happening?
Oh, yeah, we're doing that. Yeah. Back in 1977, Paramount Pictures announced that Star Trek Phase 2, the TV show that never happened was turned into Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Interesting. Do you think that Phase 2, I've never asked you this, do you think the Phase 2 thing was the same uniforms and everything, or is it not that simple? It was just basically the course, the core of it just got moved over to film status and, you know, effects and everything got bumped up.
I think the core of it was moved over, but they had to make different uniforms for the big screen and different sets.
Yeah.
They already actually had some sets and uniforms made for Phase 2.
Everyone had camel toe in that movie. Everyone. Because they all wore the little gray jumpsuits, and Kirk's walking around with a moose knuckle the entire 2 hours. Anyway, well, there you go. That's a good thing to celebrate. I still say that that movie is better now than it was when I first saw it. I don't think it's great. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And Brian keeps reminding me that it's really not great at all, but it's still better than I thought.
Yeah, if you can find a low-fat version, it's much better.
Yeah, how do you do that? Is there a place people can look for low-fat Star Trek 1?
just fan edits, I think.
Whole Foods?
Is all I've seen.
Okay, great. well, good. Well, there's that. Hey, was there a South Park episode this week or not one? Does anyone know?
Oh, I don't know.
I heard something about Star Trek being talked about on it. And
oh, really?
But I went to go find a new episode last night, and I don't see it. So maybe I'm wrong.
No, I haven't checked Hulu yet.
All right. I'm a little all over the place today.
I was watching American Horror Story last night and fell asleep.
Oh, well, that's not good. During it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Was it boring this season?
It's meh.
Is it?
Oh, this whole Lady Gaga thing.
Yeah, I don't need her in this. I feel like it's not her is the problem. It's just that you're trying to... I feel like they're wedging her in
it's
there.
It's too gimmicky. Yeah. Right? It's gimmick casting.
Do you think the Freak Stunt Show... Casting. Was the Freak Show one good, that series or that season?
Freak Show was better.
What's the best? Which one's the best?
I think so far the first one's the best.
Is it? Okay, well, yeah. I've seen that one. And I haven't seen the
Stove
rest.
Wiener, but Stove Wiener. Freak Show would probably be second or third. Coven would be the other one that would be second or third. So it's, you know.
Brian just totally preempted me by just saying Stove Wiener.
Yeah, exactly. I feel, you know, you basically just want to kind of head it off at the pass.
That's true. I was going to say it, too. Was that the one where he burned his wiener on the stove? And you were going to say, he never burned his wiener. We would have had the whole conversation again. But that was great. Very, very sneaky, very sly. I like it. all right. Well, that's them's your thing. Let's get back to the question, Daryl. This one about the book writer who wrote the stupid book that was based on this dumb episode where they built a hotel casino from the book. And all of its characters. Who is the author? Todd Matthews, Stephen Barnes, Douglas Pabst, like the beer, by the way, or Burt Ryan?
Oh, let's see. Burt Ryan. I've never even heard of that name. Is that from something?
I don't know. I'm wondering if any of the alternates here are actual author names from like pulpy fiction novels. I don't know if he went that far.
Yeah. Mm. I'm going to say no to Ryan.
Okay.
And Pabst is a beer, so cross that out.
Mm-hmm. It's a beer.
Stephen Barnes. That sounds so familiar. But I don't remember who wrote that book. Who supposedly wrote that book.
Yeah.
It's like a mix between Todd Whitehead and Brandon Matthews. So... I think I'll pick that.
Which one? Because it's not actually Brandon Matthews or Todd Whitehead. So which
what did
one?
I do?
You assigned it names of fellow Frog Pants community members.
Yeah.
That's not their names. This guy's name is Todd Matthews, not Todd Whitehead. And Brandon Matthews, a.k.a. Old Man Franks, is nowhere in this thing.
Well, I'm mixing them together and coming up with Todd Matthews. That makes sense, doesn't it?
It does now. Now it all is just washing over me. I get it now. All right, let's find out if you're right. You say Todd Matthews.
I guess.
Let's see if it is.
Congratulations.
You did it. Nicely
you're
done.
You're a winner.
He wrote the novel on the aliens who come across the ship, found the book, and used the book as a guide to build a world for astronaut Stephen Ritchie. He's the guy that got stranded there. Here's a clip of all that going down.
But the alien contaminators created this place for me out of some sense of guilt. Presuming that the novel we had on board the shuttle about the Hotel Royale was in fact a guide to our preferred lifestyle and social habits. Obviously, they thought this was the world from which I came.
Okay, it's an interesting. He's reading from
the
book.
When you hear him say that, it just sounds like he's reading a script.
I think he was reading the book or the diary of the guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. That was from the point of view of the Richie guy, so I think it was meant to. So.
Oh, gotcha, okay.
But here's the deal with that whole episode. If an alien race is advanced enough to create a fake hotel casino based on a book they read, wouldn't they be advanced enough to know that it was just a piece of fiction? Like, that this isn't some blueprint for human life? Like,
right.
I always bother.
Well, unless they were aliens that thought, well, why would you make up stuff? Just all books are real.
I guess so. So in their world, if you wrote a book, it was real.
Yeah.
All right. Fine.
The Book Planet.
Book Planet. Welcome to Book Planet. That's actually a pretty good name for a bookstore.
Book Planet. I'm sure it's taken.
Probably is. Bookplanet.com. Let's try out. Book Planet. Hold on. Planet.com comes up as Amazon.com. It forwards to.
Whoa, really?
Yep, Amazon owns BookPlanet.com.
Wow.
Wow. I wonder how long they've probably had that.
I'm going to start telling people, oh, yeah, go check that one out on BookPlanet.com. Yeah, you can buy that on BookPlanet.
Yeah, we like BookPlanet Prime. That's our cheap shipping plan.
I'm kind of a big fan of the BookPlanet Echo. It's a really cool
it's
device.
It's really good. Pay BookPlanet. Play Foo Fighters like that. Oh, it's great. Daryl's the Trek Nerd. You find him on Twitter under that name. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And now he'll play a game with us. Go.
Okay, is this a Star Trek particle or an actual particle?
Okay, we got the particles again. Here's your theme. Do I have a theme? Here you go. Okay, there you go.
Rand Paul at the Republican debate? Is that who that was?
I don't know who that is.
I
think it is. Yeah, I didn't watch that last night. I got tied up with some stuff. Did anyone see the debates? Did it go?
I saw highlights of it. They're almost too close between them all.
Yeah, I'm a little burned out on it.
Yeah.
And I feel like it was, I don't know. I'm not into watching Trump and Fiorina have a fight. I'm just not in the mood.
Yeah.
Not in the mood because something feels dirty there.
I know Putin better. No, I know Putin.
I'm friends
with Putin.
Putin.
Putin or Putin?
Putin.
Anyway, sorry.
By the
Darryl.
Way, did you see the most recent Third Eagle?
No, I heard he's apologizing, though, for something.
Oh, really? I haven't seen that part, but. It's like he's in his home instead of in front of a green screen.
No way.
And it's like a museum in there. Like all these statues and things.
Let me see. I'm going to pull it up.
What? Revelation what? Unraveled. I am.
Okay. We know who you are. Let's see. Well, he's got a big paper doll cut out of the flat Francis doll. Oh, yeah. Look at these. He's in like a house.
Yeah.
Okay. How many Catholics will Mary protect in the desert? Okay, let's look at this video.
Welcome to Revelation Unraveled. I am your host, William Tapley.
Wow. He's got a fancy room.
He does.
But it's study. It's kind of scary, though.
This is where he coaxes.
There's like a bottle.
Mobile young women from the bars.
There's a bottle of lube in the background or something. All right, I gotta go back and watch these. All right. Yeah. Anyway, thank you for the reminder. We haven't had some good Tapley stuff in a while.
We need some Tapley goodness, good Third Eagle business.
Yeah, he's given up on the green screen. All right, sorry. Real particle or fake one, or Trek one
How
or real?
How much did
one?
This particle cost on eBay? Go.
Go.
Majoron.
Spell it.
Majoron.
Okay, Majoron. Ground control.
To Majoron.
Majoron.
Oh, I love a good game of Majoron. Oh,
it sounds
so
like it would be a particle named after its discoverer.
Like Major Ron?
No, Larry Major.
Oh, okay.
Discovered by Larry Major. Lawrence Major.
His name was Ron. He had the rank of Major. And we named it after him. I don't know, man. I don't know.
Majoran is what Dice Tomatoes sing.
Oh, Majoran.
Majoran.
They have a ridged nose.
And see, that makes me feel like
Majoran.
Unless it came from the original series, they wouldn't have had a particle called Majoran that sounds so close to Bajoran.
Sounds like a Sounds like an anatomy lesson.
Right.
Here we see the Bajoran Majoran as it connects to the Flitus von Tickle Peeps.
That's what's hurting your butt.
It is, totally. Let's talk last talk.
I don't really know, man.
I say it's a real particle.
I like your thinking. I'm going with Brian. We say real.
There's a long explanation as to why. What? I don't know what I wrote, but I'm not going to bother reading that explanation because it's too long and complicated.
All right.
But it's real.
Okay. Oh, it's real. Then we got it.
It is real. Good.
Yay for us, Brian. Yay.
Hooray.
Yay for us is what I'd like to say.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news, and it's brought to you by
Core. Brand new episode up right now, summing up all the Heroes goodness from BlizzCon. Get it everywhere, you two-headed freak, including heroesforyou.com.
Yeah, so there was a new Core, and it was great, and we had a lot of fun, and we summed up what happened at BlizzCon, and we laughed, and we had great times with each other. So
cool.
There's that. People should check that out. What else? Sorry, we had a little glitch, and now I forgot where we were. Oh, it's the news. It's the news.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's happening in the news, Brian.
Okay.
How about this story? This is actually a very nice story, also a little sad, but Daniel Fleetwood, first Star Wars fan to see The Force Awakens, ended up dying at age 32, right after seeing it, really. His last wish was to see The Force Awakens, and his wish was granted by Disney, Lucasfilm, and director J.J. Abrams, all endorsed this idea. Showed Fleetwood an unfinished cut of the film at his home last week. Fleetwood was very terminally ill, a very young guy, only 32 years old. And he suffered from
cell sarcoma.
That's right. It's a very rare connective tissue cancer. And in July, his doctors gave him only a couple of months to live. Among those who urged Disney to grant Fleetwood his wish were Star Wars actor Mark Hamill, John Boyega, Carrie Fisher, all who retweeted it with the hashtag Force for Daniel. On Tuesday morning, his wife Ashley confirmed his death on Facebook. Said here that Daniel put up an amazing fight to the very end. He is now one with God and with the Force. He passed in his sleep and is in peace. He will always be my idol and my hero. Please hug Uncle Mark for me and tell Lucy lots of kisses. Rest in peace, my love. Oh, very sweet.
Very sweet.
Then, yeah. I don't know if you heard about today that terrible joke that Ken Jennings told.
Oh, no.
On Twitter.
Trivia
god Ken Jennings?
He's not my trivia god.
Utah native Ken Jennings? I don't know if we want to count him anymore.
I battled him in trivia at a couple of Taconas.
Yep. He said something to the effect of, I guess it's proven now. It's real bad. Like, everyone's dying to see Star Wars or something. It's just a bad joke.
Oh, yeah. I'm seeing a whole bunch of defenses. It's funny. I'm seeing all of the defenses for the joke. Are you kidding? 1,400 likes for a pretty good joke and constant at-reply entertainment all day from unfunny idiots. That's win-win.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Oh, man. I keep scrolling.
Yeah, it's bad. It goes on forever, and it's the worst humanity has to offer. I would say that,
The actual original joke? I haven't even gotten to it yet.
Yeah, it's somewhere in there. I don't know. If you look up Ken Jennings' account, you'll just see it. Unless he deleted it, he might have. He may have gotten rid of it.
Oh, here, man. Nope. Still defending the joke.
Oh, he's still defending it?
Yeah, like still scrolling through responses.
From Ken Jennings?
Yeah, from Ken Jennings to people who.
Huh.
Let's see here.
The downside is, or not the downside. What am I trying to say? If this was 20 years later, well, let's put it this way. It feels personal to everybody because this is a guy who's like one of us and he loves Star Wars and he was too young and, you know, it's a sad thing and we're all feeling some empathy for this guy. So I feel like it's a tasteless joke. It's a joke I wouldn't have made. If I made this joke about some famous guy in the 20s,
mm-hmm.
You remember that time old Billy fell off the side of the house and knocked his horse dead and died himself? Like, you can do that and get away with it and nobody cares. It's like Homer says. It's funny because I don't know him. Well, in a weird way, we all feel like we know this guy. So,
jeez.
Ken Jennings, don't make your dumb joke. It's a bad joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. That'll be a trivia question one day. What terrible joke did Ken Jennings make? Fallout 4 players on the PC, anyway, have logged in already 4.5 million hours. That is just the PC. 4.5 million hours, Brian. 4.5 million!
Wow. I think if I buy it now, I'm almost for sure buying it on PC then.
Well, then there you go, because that's a lot of hours.
Because I'll get more time to play it if I don't put it on the PS4, because Tina's always watching her Housewives shows up there.
She's got her programs.
It's like our cable. We only buy cable for the Bravo network.
Dude, you and I, we both have wives that have dirty little TV secrets.
Right. Hers isn't a secret anymore.
Not really a secret, but you know what I mean? Like Kim and her vampire shows. And like her a Pretty Little Liars crap and all that. They love that stuff.
Yeah.
What's going on there? Anyway, players of Fallout 4 on PC have already got beaten Grand Theft Auto for peak concurrent users. Wow. Fallout 4 has, as the time of this writing, which was yesterday, on IGN, 400,000 concurrent users, putting it behind Counter-Strike Global Offensive and Dota 2 for the for Steam's all-time concurrent user record. Excuse me. Stat tracking for site steamcharts.com, which uses Valve's openly available web API for collection of data, has Fallout 4 listed as nearly 4.5 million hours played so far, which is crazy. Anyway, that's an amazing achievement for a game they hardly marketed and everyone knew they were going to buy anyway.
Of course,
and yeah. I played only enough to get into the first city. I have not had much playtime.
Wow.
I hope to get some today. Later tonight.
Ooh,
don't tell Dave.
Green Man Gaming, $48 US with a 20% discount coupon.
Worth it. That gives you a Steam unlock too, doesn't it?
Let's see. Let's take a look.
I want to make one warning very clear to people though. If you do not like the Fallout series or did not like the way they played previously, mm-hmm. I'm not sure this is going to help you because it is very much a Fallout game. And I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying just generally to anybody out there who maybe isn't enjoy that, this is a Fallout-ass game. So it is not like they didn't recook the whole bun and asked you to eat it. It's very much the way it is. I don't know what that means.
There you go. 20% off.
That's pretty good.
That is really good. Save 20-November/gaming, and that gets you 20% off anything or selected titles, which I believe includes.
I should have done that. Why didn't I think of going to Green Man first? I just went and spent the 60 like an idiot.
What are you thinking, Johnson?
I don't
know.
Big giant dumbass. Mystery Science Theater 3000. Is making a comeback with a Kickstarter.
It's back,
man, with a Kickstarter this time. Joel Hodgson, co-creator of Mystery Science Theater 3000, has announced the show will be returning. It has taken a long time to make it happen, Hodgson told Entertainment Weekly. The first step is getting MST3K back on the air in a Kickstarter campaign with a $2 million goal. Hodgson says in the accompanying video, $2 million will pay for three all-new feature-length episodes. However, once the initial costs are covered, subsequent episodes cost less to produce. For $5.5 million, we could produce 12 episodes, he says. Is it because he had the rights and no one else did? Because they made their riff tracks and all that other stuff. I think there's some break, though. Like, there's not all the same people are friendly, right? Isn't that the deal?
Oh, is there some animosity between some of the hosts?
I think so.
Oh, geez.
I may have that wrong. I think there was some split and some went off to do one thing and others are doing another thing. And I don't remember. Well, let's look at the Kickstarter. See how they're doing here. They're at $1 million of their $2 million and they're still got 30 days. They'll probably hit it.
I think so. Yeah.
Does it say who's back? So there's Joel. Let's see, over the decade, it was reanimated over the 15 years, 1,000%. I can't find anything that says who's going to be there. Yeah, weird. I have a feeling. Well, I don't know. Someone who's seen the video can tell me, but I have a feeling that this isn't everybody you want back. It may just be Joel.
Has anyone said...
I can't find
anything.
In the
chat room, yeah, nobody said that there's any animosity between any of them.
Yeah. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how it worked. Anyway. So there's that news. And then finally in the news, Snoop Dogg just launched his own line of weed products.
Of course he did.
Smoke
weed. Snoopy Poopy Poop Dog.
Well, as you know, Brian, I'm going to play a little clip here. You know this.
Smoke weed every day.
He likes to do that. So surprising exactly nobody, Snoop Dogg has finally launched his own line of marijuana products. West Coast legend announced a line of new Colorado-based ventures The Ooh. Leafs by Snoop. Leafs by Snoop.
Leafs.
It's hard to say.
Well, yeah, because it should be Leaves.
The Leaves by Snoop.
Come on now.
Leafs by Snoop? Ugh. Anyway, at an event, says, since I've been in the forefront of this movement for 20 years now, that's not a good voice.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm a master of marijuana, he says, according to Billboard. So naturally, I'm a master of marijuana. So naturally, my people can trust that I picked out the finest, freshest products in the game. Let's medicate and elevate and put it in the air, he says. These products will include a line of pot-infused edibles, branded marijuana strains for indica-heavy plants. What's indica?
It's a like a strain, or it's like a, you know, a variety of pot plant that you can
okay.
get.
Here's another one. Three sativa dominant
sativa
dominant hybrids and high CBD outlier and concentrates. Whoa. I don't know what the hell any of that means.
My neighbors would. Well, should we get them on the phone?
We should. Get the weird neighbors on the line. The new Leafs by Snoop Leafs. Product will be sold exclusively in Colorado at both medical and recreational dispensaries.
Use
no word.
Plurals every day. Yeah.
Charlie, who called himself the boo-hoo of the Berkeley bag, used religion as a defense for his drug habit.
All right, that's fine.
The Berkeley bag.
The Berkeley bag. Berkeley bag. All right, well, don't forget, everyone.
Smoke weed every day.
All right, because now you can do it in Colorado with style.
Right.
A reminder that this show is brought to you by you at patreon.com/TMS. That's patreon.com/TMS. We can't do the show without you. You make it all possible. Please go there and contribute. And if you haven't already, think about it. Because if you value the show and how much freaking content we put in the air, imagine what $1 or $2 or $5 might do a month. That's all we're asking. A month. Not per episode. Per month. It's nothing. Zippo. Just give up that one can of Monster or something. Brian Dunaway.
Really? Yeah. It really does help us out. Yeah. I mean, it's
big time. Big time.
More than just helps us out. I mean, makes us able to focus more time on show development, coming up with new ideas, new things for the show, and able to say no to some projects, some freelance projects that really, you know, would take our time away from this. So.
Yeah. So help us out. And if you already are, thank you so much for all you do to help us. Let's take a break. When we come back, recommendals right. with Nicole. We got Tom's Tech Time after that and some phone calls. First, music.
Music. I'm loving this one. I'm so happy to play it. Adam Martin emailed in, hey, Skojo and Bri Bri. I wanted to request a song for my 9-year-old son, Ben. He loves listening to TMS on his way to school and on the way back home. Sorry about that stuff you heard earlier today about the doctor. And he's been having a bit of a rough time at school lately. I sent an email detailing the whole thing on November 4th. His favorite artist is Butch Walker, who happens to come from our hometown. I was hoping you could play either a cover by him or one of his songs. If not, Darius Rucker crooning about a chicken bacon ranch will be fine too.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
I was ready.
Don't forget your fro-yo at the dojo. Signed, Adam Martin.
Nice.
Yes, Butch Walker is great. And he kind of reminds me a little bit of Jonathan Colton in his acoustic style and delivery. He's got a great voice, and it's, you know, he finds some creativity in the stuff he does, including this cover right here, which takes one cover by the Cars and kind of, or a cover of the Cars, and merges it with another cover of the Cars. The song is called My Best Friend's Magic Girlfriend. It is a cover of My Best Friend's Girlfriend, but you might find a little bit of magic in the melody. Mm. Here's Butch Walker from the Substitution Mass Confusion album from 2004.
Nice. You know my favorite lyric from a car song, right?
I do. Don't let nobody pick your bum.
Don't let nobody pick your bum.
I should have just let you play it. Yes. I guess we've learned a little something today.
We really have. Here it is. It's My Best Friend's Magic Girlfriend. I love that title. We'll see you guys on the other side.
I was dancing down the street. Your sway blue eyes. Every new boy that you meet doesn't know the real surprise. There she comes again, dancing beneath the starry sky. So make it flip. Here she comes again, dancing beneath the star skies. I kinda like the way she dips. She my best friend's girl. I see my best friend's girl. She used to be mine. Summer, you turn me upside down. Summer, 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 like a merry-go-round. But I see you on the moonlight, all shackles and bones. In your high shoes with your cleats a-clicking, temperamental glow. Best friend's girl. She my best friend's girl. She my best friend's girl. She used to be mine, oh mine. She used to be mine, yeah, yeah. She used to be mine.
Too. Michael, have you ever smelled grass before?
Oh yeah, sure. Lots of times.
All great artists started out as doodlers.
This is the morning stream. The spice must flow.
You know, the weird bit with that is it sounded like two Fletchers, didn't it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, listen to that again.
This is the morning stream. The spice must flow.
It's like two different microphones.
Two different times recorded, like yeah. Clearer mic and
right. Weird. Hey, everybody, welcome back. We're back. Hey, I forgot iPad Pros went on sale today.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exciting, isn't it? A little bit exciting.
It is exciting.
Inviting and exciting. Did you win the lottery ticket? How'd that go?
Oh, I didn't go buy a lottery
ticket. Oh, you didn't do it?
No.
Ah.
Well, my lottery ticket might be a contact.
Ah, I see. Well, it's good times. Exciting times for us here in the in the world of artistry. It is the one I have decided to go with. So let's do what we're doing now, which is to not be talking to each other anymore, but talking to Nicole.
Jeez, can we not talk anymore to each other? Like once Nicole comes on, it's like we don't exist.
Listen, people don't know about the feud we're having off the air. It seems like they should know.
Damn it, Johnson.
We're really
Mad Max.
We're at each other's throats constantly. It's just a real pisser. Who else is like this out there? What big media pairing we always find out? Oh, it's like finding out that Adam Savage and Jamie Hyneman can't stand each other on MythBusters.
God, I know. That would.
That's the truth. Did you hear about that? They hate
what?
Each other.
No.
Oh yeah, that's a total. We've talked about it on the show, haven't we? Thought we did. Thought we did.
We?
Oh yeah, it all came out like recently because they're ending after this next season. So
because
they've been
of that because of animosity.
No. They've been able. They've not liked each other the entire run of the show.
Oh, that's crazy. I mean, they have different personalities, very different personalities. I would think that, it would just be like a Oscar Felix kind of thing where they don't hate each other, but it's like, oh God, are you gonna wear that damn stinky hat again?
It's actually kind of a tribute to people being able to continue to work together despite their weird differences. It's,
right.
It's pretty fascinating. I'll send you a link. You should read the article, because they both are just like totally like, yeah, I'm not, we've never even been to dinner with each other once. Like,
wow.
That entire time, the entire run. And Jamie's like, yeah, I'm not going to miss this. Like, he's like super, super grumpy about it.
Oh,
yeah, I know it makes you a little bit sad, but also I'm kind of impressed that they were able to make it work.
Yeah, that's true. They were held it together for so long.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Wow. All right.
Nicole time. Actually, and we made all that up. Brian and I are not fighting on the outside.
Just on the inside.
I can't do podcasts with people I don't like. So if you ever see a co-host leave the show, you might wonder what's going on.
Did I ever tell you about that? I'm just kidding.
Not that one. That was different.
I'm just kidding.
That was a job. That was a job that screwed that up. Nice one. You almost started a little controversy. All right. Nicole's bag, Nola Holo, is coming on the show now.
Yes.
And there is precisely jack shit you can do about it, everybody. It's happening whether you like it or not. And here it is. I'm going to play this right here. Oh, Nicole. Nicole Spagnolo, mother of two.
It's you guys. Oh, God.
Well, yeah. Hey, your voice is low. Yeah, I know. We shouldn't tell anybody about all the infighting we have as a threesome. You have a cold, too? What?
That's sick.
Oh, no.
Oh, see, you could have just come to BlizzCon, because if you're going to get sick anyway, might as well have gotten it there.
Well, you know, I had a little newborn to take care of.
That's true.
Of course.
Newborns make it hard, Yeah.
We talked about you constantly, and every time we had ice cream, we wished you were there.
Yeah. I miss you guys.
Yeah. It was really fun. We had a great time, but it was so fast. I mean, I just want to reiterate, my only real regret is it went so quick and I was so spread thin that I just didn't get to spend time with people I wanted to. Yeah.
It's hard. It's hard.
Like, I feel like I didn't even have a meal with Brian.
I know.
What the
hell? Not even a
You're too busy rubbing elbows with all the higher ups.
I guess so. I had breakfast.
Yeah, maybe if my last name were Metzger.
Hey, he invited me, damn it. Hey, this is the other thing, is I had breakfast. I did have breakfast with Tom.
Should I throw you under the bus to have dinner with him? I'm like, sorry, Scott. Gotta go.
Gotta go. Metzger invited me somewhere. Everything else gets, kind of that one. Anyway, it's good to have you back on. Sorry you're ill, but I'm sure this will not deter us from our appointed rounds.
Oh, I am watching tons of shows right now.
Yeah, and I'm a little behind on a lot of things, but your category today worked for me because it reminded me of all the great stuff that's streaming that you can get in that category, which is 80s movies.
Yay! Yes. Well, it backfired on me because when I originally picked it, you guys were like, oh, I'm not ready for it. I'm like, damn it, that's my movie's out right now. And I just went into Netflix, and for some reason, it's not streaming anymore.
Oh, no.
Oh, what was it?
Oh.
Can you tell us what it was?
You want to try to guess it with my clip? Because I even have my clip picked out.
Yeah, let's pretend it's still streaming, because you don't have a backup, right?
I do have a backup.
You have a backup. Oh, let's guess it.
Yeah, let's guess
play the clip and let's just guess it. Go
very
for it.
Meaningful to me.
All right.
I'd
like to sing you a song inspired by one of our coach passengers. And since we let our first class passengers do pretty much whatever they want, here he is.
I wanna make you smile whenever you're sad.
I get teary every time I hear it.
Oh, even listening to it there. I don't know what that is.
I don't either. I don't know what it is.
I really don't know what that is.
That's the song that Mark and I danced to for our wedding. That was our song.
Oh, really?
And I'll give you a hint.
Okay.
It's Adam Sandler.
Okay. Oh, wedding singer?
It is the wedding singer.
Wow.
It was streaming just like 2 weeks ago.
I remember seeing that.
It came out in the 80s or the...
No, it was a little cheat. It's a movie based in the 80s.
Oh, took place in the 80s. Okay.
Yeah, made in the 90s.
Wow. So... and why did it get? It just got pulled like normal. Just got yanked.
I guess it got pulled at the beginning of the month because I watched it right before Halloween.
Yeah. Oh. Well, that's too bad. I like that movie. That's one of the Sandler movies you can get behind. You know, you can totally feel good about.
I love Drew Barrymore in it too.
Yeah, Drew Barrymore's great. What's wrong with her? Nothing, I'd say.
She just recently did an interview. What'd you say?
I said, there's nothing wrong with her. She's great. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she is great.
Yeah.
Well, she apparently contacted Adam Sandler to work with him.
Oh, that was her deal.
They would be a good pair to work with.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, then that worked in. That turned out to be how many? They did other ones like 50 First Dates, and is that it? They do anything else?
I think they did one more.
E.T. He was a little alien man.
How about you give me some more Reese's Pieces?
Dude, that was too good. So, yeah. Oh my gosh, that made my day. That made my freaking day. And you made Nicole choke to death.
Oh yeah.
You sound like my daughter. Carter's had this thing so bad. Oh, the poor thing. The
she's
whole
sick too?
Yeah, the whole con. She's past the illness part, but just with the terminal cough, and she cannot shake this thing. And the plane rides were just awful for her.
Oh yeah, the pressure.
Yeah, it was bad. So
you guys have an 80s movie for me, right?
We do. Brian, you gotta let's do your clip.
Sure. This is from 1984.
Ooh, really?
Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay. Well, let me get to where I can play this. Why is this not working? Oh, here we go. Okay. I'm playing your clip now. It has got a little your name on it, so here it is.
Your testicles and you. Take a good look. These are the unlucky ones. These unfortunate souls are suffering from ESS, Enlarged Scrotum Syndrome. Here at the Atlanta Genital Institute, teams of doctors are at work around the clock to cure this dreaded affliction. Hi, I'm Dr. Zillman, and I'd like to talk to you about your testes. The human testicle is not unlike a balloon. Sometimes it is empty. And sometimes it is full. And sometimes... So next time, do the smart thing. Don't let anything come between your testicles and you. Thank you.
I have no idea, but that's hilarious.
That is a movie within a movie. Any guesses, Nicole?
No.
It sounded like Joe Piscopo to me.
How funny. It wasn't Joe Piscopo. However, Joe Piscopo's in this movie.
Oh, no way. Okay.
I think somebody in the chat room tipped me off. Johnny Dangerously.
It is. Yeah.
Oh, I've never seen Johnny Dangerously.
Oh, now is your chance. Okay. This is great. It's like a parody of like old style crime gangster style movies with Michael Keaton, Joe Piscopo, Mary Lou Henner. Never looked better, in my opinion. Griffin Dunn plays Michael Keaton's little brother, Dom DeLuise, Danny DeVito, all these people with D names.
D in their names, yeah.
But it's really funny. It's cheesy, but it's lots. What's that?
It's very cheesy.
It's very cheesy. Lots of sight gags, lots of low-hanging fruit jokes, but I will go out on a limb and say it is the best thing that Joe Piscopo ever did. His character, Vermin.
I don't think that is a hard thing to say. I mean, he's had his moments.
Danny Vermin.
Shuffle, you know?
Yeah.
What's that?
Not the Super Bowl Shuffle. Part of the Super Bowl Shuffle.
Was he in that? I don't know.
Chicago Bears thing?
For that?
I think you're thinking of the quarterback. He looks just like him.
I got to look this up now because I think he's in that video.
He might be. Super Bowl. I haven't seen that in so long. Oh, my gosh. You're giving me overload 80s here.
I know, right?
Shuffle. Hold on. Let's look on the YouTube here.
Joe Piscopo.
I'll play part of it. Okay, here we go. Okay, why isn't it playing? Okay, here we go. Oh, I don't need a title. It already has a title. There we go. Oh my gosh. This was so bad. Okay, I don't see him.
No. It's bad enough that should have had Joe Piscopo.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Look, if you're going to make a real shitty video, put Joe Piscopo in it.
I mean, it was around Saturday Night Live time.
Right.
I liked him on SNL. I thought he was funny on there.
He was good on SNL. He did a good Frank Sinatra.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was right up there.
Joy-Z that he always did. I can't remember the character's name. But
sure. His Ted Koppel was great.
I'm Joy-Z. Oh, yes. I'm Ted Koppel.
Amazing Ted Koppel, I thought.
Yes.
So
go watch that. It's Johnny Dangerously. It's a great kind of throwaway 90 minutes you'll be glad you spent watching it.
It's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix.
I'm all in. Sounds good to me. Here's my clip.
It's on Amazon too.
Oh, Amazon also.
There you go.
Great. Amazon 2, the sequel.
Available wherever movies are streamed.
Here's Scott's pick. You guys try to guess. 30 seconds. Here we go.
Book, is it?
Yeah.
You were the Yankee they talk about.
Well, it was the English.
English Yankee. It's the same. My name is Daniel. Daniel Hofleitner.
How do you do?
Was this a Naked Gun?
Nope.
Nope.
You look plain, Book. Very plain. I came to see Rachel.
Okay, he came to see Rachel. What movie is it?
Time for Milking.
You're totally right about that. It's, it is Witness.
Witness, yes. Oh.
1984 also, I think.
I heard the guy from Naked Gun, Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen?
Nope, that was Harrison Ford.
When did Harrison Ford turn into Leslie Nielsen?
I know, it sounded a bit, I'm sorry, 1985. It was off by ear.
Okay.
85, directed by Peter Weir, an amazing director who made nothing
love
but
that movie.
Amazing movies. Yeah, and it holds up. It's really great. The music's weird. They use synth music in it, which is a little bit strange, but so did Dead Poets Society, another one of his films. It was kind of that era, so he chose to go that direction, but... he's an Australian director, does fantastic work. I love Master and Commander. Far Side of the World's a great movie. The Way Back is really good. He's great. He didn't miss
Witness, right?
He what now? Say again?
What's the movie again?
Yeah, Witness. Yep.
Witness, yeah.
Yeah, and it's you know, him and the Amish deal and the murder, him having to figure
Lucas
it out.
Lucas Haas, right? Is that the who plays the kid?
The kid is Lucas Haas. I believe that is right. Is that right? Hold on. I'm going to check it.
It was like him and,
Lucas Haas is his name. Samuel,
yeah.
He is a kind of a weird looking dude now. He still does stuff though. He's busy doing work. Does work. He's in The Revenant, that new movie I really want to see. Transcendence, which was not good, but that's not his fault. He was in something called Meth Head. He was in Lincoln. Entourage was one of the. Buttholes in Entourage.
He probably played a nice guy in Entourage.
Yeah, he's actually gone on to do quite a bit of work, and that's always good for a kid actor when you see them just do good solid work and not, you know, end up in the crazy news or whatever. Kelly McGillis was great in it. It's a great movie. Danny Glover, bunch of people you know.
A little bit of nudity.
Yeah, a little bit of the boobery. A little boobery in there.
A little boobery.
Oh, I have a movie that has boobs in it for you then.
Tons of boobs. Oh, did you pick Porky's as your recommendation?
No.
Oh, good. Phew. Anyway, I still think Witness is great. It's one of Harrison. It was, you know what? Here's what I'll say about it in closing. I think it's the time when I was able to see Harrison Ford as something more or something else than Han Solo or Indiana Jones.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, this was that was a great great role for him to kind of break out of.
It felt like he can do other things other than these other two things. And that made me real happy. And then from
get
then
off
on,
my plane.
Yeah, get off my plane. It belongs in a museum, Dad. Anyway, let's now go. Nicole, what do you got? What'd you end up with?
All right, here you go.
All right.
You ready for the clip?
Yep.
Yes.
Close shop.
Yep.
The girls were exhausted. Lana was hungry. She wanted to go out for a bite. She wanted to make love on a real train.
It's risky business.
It is.
Risky business.
Yeah, that's
thank
got
you for
the
not playing old time rock and roll.
Rebecca De Mornay in there.
Yes.
Right? With their she was naked.
83, it's basically about a young kid played by Tom Cruise, trying to make a lot of money fast. Mm-hmm. And he meets a prostitute, Rebecca De Mornay's character.
That's the one, right?
So funny, this movie has become a trope in and of itself. I mean, I was just watching the Goldbergs and Barry did a whole thing with it. And everybody knows that opening scene with Bob Seger's old time rock and roll song. And I don't think the kids know what the movie really is about.
Right. But it's endured somehow. Like
it totally has.
Just the other day I saw like three or four vines with people doing it. It's like, and they're like, you know, 14. Like, do you even know what you're referring to? I don't think they know. It's really weird.
It's a good movie. I mean, I think it's really interesting to see Tom Cruise at this stage of his career. I mean, this is 83, so it's right at the beginning of it. There was another movie, his first movie. he worked in a factory. I can't remember what it was called, but he was a football player, and he's really bad in that one.
Yeah, he had some...
He's kind of bad in this one, too. I mean, just listening to him read those lines, you're like, ugh.
Yeah, he got better. I don't know. When was it?
He got better as he got crazier.
Yeah. That's a good point. Because later in his career, I mean, Rain Man, geez, so good in that.
Right.
No, that's a good movie. Good pick, too.
I mean, it fits. I mean, he's young, he's dumb, mm-hmm. and you'll finish the rest.
Yeah. My memory is that some people are doing it on some stairs. Do I remember that right?
They're doing it everywhere in this
movie. They're doing it everywhere. I mean, his house becomes a brothel.
That's right. But I just remember the stairs for some reason. It just sticks out in my mind. Tom Cruise and a blonde lady doing it on the stairs. Anyway. not for the kids, everyone. Don't watch that with them, but enjoy yourselves, I suppose, if you watch it on your own. All right, good picks all around, everybody. I like this 80s stuff. You know what we should do next week?
What?
70s.
Oh, okay. All right, cool.
Yeah. Think of that, what we could do there.
Movies that take place in the 70s or only movies that were filmed in the 70s?
Movies that were made in the 70s. So okay. 70s era films. I suppose you could cheat and say, here's a movie that was just made that's set in the 70s. That's fine.
Well, like Christmas Story. That was filmed in the 80s.
Yeah.
But it takes place in the 50s.
50s, yeah. So we could do something like that. So if it's set in the 50s, great. If it's filmed in the 50s, great. Or sorry, I keep saying 50s, 70s. I think we should play with that decade. That's a fun decade.
All right.
But what about like Space Odyssey?
Space Odyssey is...
Was that filmed in the 70s?
It was filmed in the 70s and took place in 2001.
Right.
Yeah. So that counts. I think that counts.
Does it count?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, because it was filmed in the 70s.
Yeah, if it's filmed, the rules are filmed in the 70s or depicts the 70s. Those are our two rules.
Right.
So I think we can do that. That sounds all right to me.
Love it. I'm all over it.
Nicole's bag, always a pleasure. Baby's doing good. Everyone's good.
So far, she's not sick, so I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, that makes me glad. It's always good.
Oh, gosh. That would be horrible.
Yeah, it would.
But yeah, Mateo's sick. I'm sick. Mark, so far, is not sick. Yeah. But we're hanging in there.
Mark's fine. His sickness comes when he'll be 70 and realize that he's got a coat of sawdust on all of his internal organs. And then there's trouble. That's when things
happen. He wears respirators.
Oh, good.
He's very safe.
I'm glad, because my wife's dad, my father-in-law, I guess is what you'd call him, he did not do that so much, and he was a hardcore woodworking dude his whole life and now has the worst cough, and it never goes away.
Yeah.
It's sad. He's got like all kinds
Mark always wears a respirator.
Well, good. He's got like a CPAP, Brian.
Just about, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you guys, have you checked out that new TV show, Masters of None, on Netflix?
No.
Is it
good?
The Aziz Ansari thing, right?
Yes.
How is it?
It's great. Mm. I'm already like 5 episodes in.
Heard good things about it. It's a documentary thing, no?
No.
Oh, what am I thinking of? You know what?
I have to say, Louis C.K. really ushered in a new kind of television. So when Louis started doing it, because it's kind of loosely based on Louis' life. Mm-hmm. So Jim Gaffigan did something similar. Well, what's his name again?
Jim Gaffigan?
No.
Aziz Ansari?
Oh.
So he's doing something similar. I mean, it's loosely based around him.
Yeah, because it sounded like you said, so Jim Gaffigan, well, now what's his name again? I'm like, I didn't realize you met him. You're right. And even though Gaffigan's show is a lot less dark, it's still that, it's cut from that template for sure.
Well, it's cut from his life. Mm-hmm. So you have these comedians, and in this case, I mean, I can't pronounce his name.
Aziz Ansari.
So he's a comedian, but he's also an actor. So the TV show revolves around his acting career. Mm. So it's a really funny show, and I love it. It's awesome. And it's definitely toned down from the character he plays in Parks and Rec. Somebody even asked me, you know, like, he annoys me. I'm not annoyed at all.
I loved him on Parks and Rec, so I think I'll love this too. And it's like a little half hour deal?
Half hour, yeah. Just like Louis, just like Jim Gaffigan.
Perfect.
It's along those same lines. If you like those shows.
I'm so in. Yeah.
The very first episode is about kids, and he's babysitting, and they go into a yogurt place, and the kids just start naming off the races of everyone around them.
Nice.
That guy.
All right.
This person.
I want to watch it. I've been meaning, I saw that, and for whatever reason, I had it in my head it was a documentary, but I'm thinking of something else him and another comedian did on a stage tour. It was about science, and they filmed it. And maybe that's just not out yet, but it was
I'm not sure.
Aziz and some other guy where he would do some comedy, and then this other guy would get up and talk about actual science, and apparently it was fascinating, like really interesting. I think I'm thinking of the right guys. Anyway, I'll figure that out and talk about it next
Sean
week.
Benjamin is in it too, so you can't go wrong when you have archers.
I love it. James yeah. John. What's his name?
Jim John Benjamin.
H. John Benjamin.
Yeah, there you go.
Aziz Ansari.
Yeah. Aziz, I'm sorry.
John Travolta, when I'm about to pronounce his name.
I can't touch my hair. Nicole, it's always a pleasure. Have fun. Nicole Spag on Twitter. May your week be awesome. And I know this is a big time of year for you for the holidays, your huge Thanksgiving.
Practice Thanksgiving today.
Oh, that's awesome. See, you have practice Thanksgivings. That's how cool you are.
Oh, I just like Thanksgiving meal, and I think it's a shame that you only have it once a year.
I think we should fly down to Surprise, Arizona and have some dinner is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, there you go. Come on down.
Come on down, everybody. It's Nicole's Bag. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
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 All right, Brian, it's time for us to call Tom.
All right.
Get him in here. Get that. I'll make that sound. Freaking he's showing us a way, but I'll bet that's fake. I bet that's not real.
It's, you know, technology.
Trying to bring down the man about the technology.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is one Tom Merritt, who we just saw this weekend and had a lovely time with. Tom, how's it going?
It was great seeing both of you guys.
Yeah. Wasn't it nice? You guys
got some ice cream with Ibit, had some breakfast with Scott.
Yeah, not near enough time
played
with either of you.
Overwatch for the only time this week.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, we got to, you know, who knows? They did another wave yesterday. I assume neither of you got anything on that, right?
Not that I saw. Unless they're sneaky about it. I did install StarCraft, too, though.
Oh, I did as well. I played the first two missions.
I didn't get a chance to play it much, but I went through the cinematics and stuff. Looks great.
Yeah, story. I love that story, so I'm in on that. I played two missions. I've had no time for much else. I did play... What else did I play? Oh, I played a little Fallout so far. That is a Fallout game, everybody.
That game's falling out.
Yeah, it is a big time Fallout game. So if you like Fallout, you're in. And it's so weird to come off a weekend where all of my favorite people are there, and I never feel like I have enough time with them, and not play one video game while I'm there. It made no sense.
I get to spend great time with Tom this weekend.
Yeah, I know you guys did a lot. That's true. Bastards.
Yes.
It'll teach me to.
That's because you were working.
Yeah, I was too busy.
Yeah.
But next year, I'm going to say no to everything and just hang out with my buddies.
Sure you are.
Sure you are.
I think we just all get there on Wednesday, have a dinner, have a meal together Wednesday night, spend some time together Thursday morning, and then let the madness commence.
You know what?
No kidding.
Yeah, that's true. It's not
we can all drive down together in 4-hour traffic. Woo!
Yay, 405. I kind of like the idea of I like the idea of a day early. You know, pad that thing out. And
when Patrick Beja came out last year, I was lucky enough to spend some time with him up here before, and then I drove him down and then drove him back, and that was really fun.
Yeah. Did you get the wine and cheese smell ever come out of your clothes, or is that still a problem?
No, thankfully not. Oh, okay, it's delicious.
Good. All right, great. Patrick leaves a mark, I can tell you that.
he leaves a delicious mark.
We missed him this year too. He was sadly missed at BlizzCon. It's weird not having him there. Let's talk about technology. There's a lot of stuff going on. Today's iPad Pro Day, if people are buying one of those.
In fact, I'm going to head out here as soon as we're done and pick mine up.
So my understanding was they weren't going to be in the store until later in the week, but only on sale online today, but that changed.
Yeah, it was weird. I was ordering it. I was like, oh, okay, get it delivered Friday. Great. I'll pay a little extra for that. Why not? And then I saw in-store pickup available at my local store.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh, well, that makes more sense. Yeah. I don't have to pay for shipping, and I get it today. I will do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if I should have done it that way. Would have been easier to
do. How did you do it? Did you pre?
I did it online. Yeah, I just ordered it. And I don't think I didn't pay any extra, so it's just the 2 to 4 days or whatever the normal is. So I'll probably
get it Friday.
Yeah, I'll probably get it Friday. Friday or Monday, something like that.
Right. Are we gonna call it the iPad Duke?
I'm gonna call it the iPad Duke. Yeah, that's my plan. No, because the phone's already the Duke. We got to get a new name like. I don't know, the Beast or something.
The Gipper.
I like the Gipper. Don't forget the Gipper.
iPad Gipper.
I also got the pen. The whole reason I'm doing this, by the way, everybody, and I did a lot of homework. I paid attention to a lot of artist blogs and those who have had early access to all three of the devices that were on my radar this year. This is all art focus for me. I want portable art. I want good fidelity. I want all of that. So I've listened to everybody who's compared the Wacom portable unit, the Surface 4,
Surface,
the Surface Book, and the iPad Pro. And in every single case, taking into account the styluses that are either included or you know, best possible scenario styluses for each of those devices, the iPad Pro has won out on all of them for quality of the pen, how the you know, the flow of the thing, the pressure sensitivity, the angle usage, all that stuff, and the latency is supposed to be better. So I did my homework. I don't need a bunch of Microsoft people breathing down my neck. I was very close to pulling the trigger on a Surface 4. But everybody I've read that I trust and believe in say go with the iPad this time because they seem to have made it a real focus.
All right.
For artists. So as an artist, I'm going to give it a shot, and I'll let people know what I think. And I guess you will too if you're getting it.
I can't wait to try it as my teleprompter. It'll have huge letters.
Oh, no kidding.
You can set that thing across the room. And
yeah, as old as we're getting this, but that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, actually. I was like, you know, I don't want a 12-inch.
Yeah.
But I do want a new iPad.
Yeah.
And I do want the latest one. I don't want to buy a year-old processor.
Yeah.
And that is unreasonable for anyone who is a normal consumer. Like, just buy the year-old iPad Air 2. It's totally right. Fine.
Yeah.
You'll use it for years. Yeah. But
what you do is you buy the year-old iPad from one of us.
Well, mine is third generation. Mine's like 4 years old.
Oh, my God. Does that thing even work still?
It does.
Yeah.
We're like only three apps are compatible now.
Yeah, we're getting there on that one. My daughter has that same one, and she's still making it work.
Yeah, no, it's actually apps are compatible with it. That's the oldest one they support still, I think.
Yeah. Well, I've got the Mini 2, the first Mini Retina, whichever that was. I don't know when that was. That's, what, 2-3 years now? Mm-hmm. So I think it's time for an upgrade anyway.
Yeah. And for those of you saying you should try an Android tablet, the Nexus 9 is what I use every morning to like catch up on news and read the BBC and all this stuff. Love my Nexus 9.
I like
it's the thing I read comics on. It's the thing I read Kindle. It's great.
I use quite a bit my NVIDIA Shield tablet. I like that quite a bit as well. For me, this is primarily, if I was using it, it's just as a media consumption device. There are plenty of options, certainly less expensive options too.
You know what we're both saying? Because I use my iPad mostly to run the soundboard for DTNS and other shows, and as a prompter, and a few other things. You and I have moved the iPad into our personal enterprise.
Yeah, they're production machines for us in a lot of ways. In this case, in my case, a lot of art. In your case, a lot of show stuff. That they are good at that, and they're very solid state. Like the one thing I like about Apple stuff generally is they're kind of built like trucks. At least this latest phone and this, you know, iPads generally are very resilient, and so. It's funny how those have moved into that sphere.
Nexus
but when
9
I'm
is pretty durable too. I've dropped that thing a few times.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt.
Anyway.
Probably a question I could, you know, Google and look up on Apple. But since I've got you here, Tom, so with the new iPad Pro, does it just blow up your existing app? Well, I guess it would automatically blow up your existing apps. But are there apps that take advantage of the new size to give you more content on them? Like, for example, Soundboard, we were talking about that. Could it give you like an extra few rows of buttons?
Oh, interesting.
Let me Google that for you.
I'll bet you that Soundboard app hasn't been updated yet, but it seems in theory that would be the case.
Is a good question. I don't know if they'll provide you a couple of extra rows if it detects you're using the 12-inch.
All your apps that use, you know, that aren't based on raster images or something, even games, will scale beautifully because they'll just...
Apple doesn't like you to do too much of that sort of stuff because they don't want the experience to vary lot.
Right.
From piece to piece, but there are definitely universal apps that are entirely different on the iPad than they are on the iPhone. So it wouldn't be unprecedented for somebody to do some screen size detection. And I do know that that screen size detection is part of what the app can do and adjust itself to that.
The new Adobe stuff that's coming out with this and the Paper app and a few others are supposed to be excellent for those who are looking forward to stylus integration. So just a word of advice there on that. You know what would be fun is Tom and I should do like a combined video, sort of a dueling review for the two uses we have for this thing.
That would be fun.
Yeah, look Let's at it that. From those angles and we'll just mash up some kind of video.
As the YouTubers call it, we'll collab.
I like collabing with the YouTubers. Maybe we could do a Vine collab.
Maybe we could get Lamar Wilson in.
Hey, that's not bad. He could.
He's
he could
actual YouTube.
Yeah, he could crash a Mario Kart into a wall or something.
But he does great out of the box stuff. If you've ever watched that.
Yeah.
And also, yes, does awesome Nintendo.
And eats a lot of Oreos as well, is my understanding. Does that
lots
a lot
of different flavors of Oreos.
A lot of Oreo testing, which we have some experience
I want
with.
That job.
So what? I didn't mean to take us down that
path.
You
know, the iPad is a perfectly reasonable thing for us to talk about. But I did want to introduce you guys to Singles Day, if you weren't aware of it.
All right. I have no idea what that even is, except...
Ibbet, do you know Singles Day?
I don't. As a married guy, I don't think I would, though.
Oh, you would if you were Chinese. It is the biggest shopping day in the world.
But you can only pay with ones.
And that would be funny. November 11th, which, by the way, here in Europe and North America, it's Veterans Day. So a big thank you to our veterans and remembrance of those past. Many in my family, my uncle, my dad, and all of that. So, you know, definitely do not mean to minimize the importance of Veterans Day in our culture. But in China, Singles Day is their Black Friday. They kick Alibaba, which, if you don't know, is a big e-commerce company in China. Huge, hugely valuable. It's traded on the New York Stock Exchange. They did a four-hour television event before the launch of Singles Day featuring Daniel Craig, Kevin Spacey doing a video as if he were Frank Underwood from House of Cards.
Weird.
They plan to deploy 1.7 million delivery personnel, 400,000 vehicles, 5,000 warehouses, and 200 airplanes. And at the launch of Singles Day, because remember, November 11th started earlier in China than it does here, Alibaba said it had $5 billion in sales in the first 90 minutes, $1 billion in the first minute.
What?
And if you want a comparison, all of last year's Black Friday weekend sales total in the U.S. were $6.56 billion.
What the crap?
Holy cow.
How is that? That seems crazy to me. I guess it shouldn't sound crazy to me. There's that many people that could potentially do it. Like, that's a percentage. But
well, and it's China. It's Hong Kong. It's starting to move into other areas of the region are starting to celebrate Singles Day outside of China.
Yeah.
Even there have been some U.K. Companies trying to get it off the ground. I'm not sure how much success they've had, but this started in 1993 as an actual celebration of being single at I think it was Nanjing University, if I got that right.
Yeah,
Nanjing University. And then it just over time evolved into a party time for people to meet new friends. And then with the internet era, it became a time for sales, you know, to like celebrate your singlehood, treat yourself with something. 11/11 because of 1/1/1, all the singles in it. And then really kicked into high gear in 2011 when they called it Singles Day of the Century because you had the 11 in the year. Mm-hmm. And the term, which in Chinese, I'm not even try to pronounce it, but it means double 11, was trademarked by Alibaba on December 28th, 2012. And they've sort of turned it into... Black Friday for China, and it's ridiculous.
A billion.
So that'd be like Amazon copywriting the name or trademarking the name Black Friday. It'd be that
kind of,
or a derivative of it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, Tom, did you know if you go to what was it,
Book Planet.
Bookplanet.com forwards to Amazon.com? Isn't that cool?
Really?
Yeah. It sounds like something they would have had like back in the late 90s.
I'm guessing
when they
there was another company. That's what I'm guessing. There was another company called Book Planet, and Amazon said, slurp.
Yeah, that could have been.
That would be a fun game at CNET, is to figure out all the domain names that CNET owned and where they forwarded to. Because a guy that had worked, was like employee number four at CNET, realized you could register domain names for free back in the 90s before they charged and just like slurped everything up.
Oh wow. I didn't know that. Is that true? There was a free period? Wow.
Yeah, but up in, I don't remember exactly when. I think 95 is when they started charging for registration. But when domain names first were introduced, you just registered it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they didn't get snorb.org from my cold dead hands.
Hey!
That's right. Well, this is all, that's fascinating to me. We'll talk, I'm sure, more about that later today on DTNS. It's Wednesday, which means my day.
And, yes.
Very excited about that, to be on. Anything else we would like to forecast for people or let them know what's happening?
Forecast is a segment.
Not a show.
Pretend I'm Dumb About Star Wars continues. If you go to tommerritt.com/PIDASW or just look for it in the left side navigation there. It is me approaching the Star Wars episodes pretending. I'm not saying I can achieve this, but I'm pretending like I don't know anything about the shows. And I look at episode one and go, well, that must be the first one I should watch because it's called episode one. Who are these people? And so the first episode is already out. It's also on my YouTube channel, or you can listen to it as a podcast, where I talk about my impressions of The Phantom Menace. And Monday, I recorded my episode two about Attack of the Clones. And so that will be coming out tomorrow. So if you want to hear my pretend fresh take on Star Wars, go check it out.
Fresh Takes with Tom Merritt. Yeah.
So basically it's like pretend I'm Marco Rubio about Star Wars.
Yes. No comment, but yes.
Calling Marco Rubio dumb.
Yeah. No. He said, he tweeted about...
the Star Wars, that he didn't know which Star Wars movie.
He said, I think I had the Death Star, but it kept breaking just like it did in Part 2 in Empire Strikes Back when it blew up because that guy got that rocket to go into that hole.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Amazing, amazing quote.
I don't remember much about Star Wars.
Yeah. That was an amazing quote from a guy who is like 3 years younger than us. I don't understand.
Well, there you go.
I guess
he saw it when he was much younger.
But life, when you're so focused on politics that Star Wars is out of your memory, I don't know how that, what's that like? What is that like? Anyway.
Yeah.
Tom, may your day be filled with love and joy. And
may the force be with you.
We'll talk to you soon. Oh, great.
Live long and prosper.
I can't seem to hang up on him.
I'm not going away then.
Let me hang
just
up.
Gotta stay right
your
here.
Your lack
stay
of hang right up button disturbs me.
Gonna say things in the background because you can't stop me.
Did it fix it? No.
Really? You really can't
really
make it
can't.
Go away.
It won't work. Hold on.
He's got nothing else to do today. Let's keep him on.
I mean, sure. I'll just.
Okay.
I got my NaNoWriMo. I'll just be quietly over here writing.
How do I sound now?
You sound fine.
Okay. Dang
you want
it.
Me to go away?
Yeah. I can't figure it out. All right.
Bye, Tom.
Hey, Brian, how about we do some calls? Let's do
some
calls.
Yes, let's do that. I love that idea.
That's great. How about this one about this guy? I kind of talked about this earlier. Here you go.
I still understand why Scott Johnson just won't get a Cintiq Companion 2 when it has Windows. It has the full experience. It can run Photoshop. Talk about the Surface Pro. You talk about the that Apple their iPad, and it just doesn't. It doesn't make sense. Look at the Cintiq Companion 2. You like Wacom? Just check it out, Scott. Thanks. Bye.
I did, but it's poorly reviewed. People,
the Cintiq, doesn't that require a computer? Oh no, I guess it's its own thing. Right?
This one is, yeah, and it runs this particular one does run Windows. Mm-hmm. It has 256 gigabytes of storage, which is nice. It's 13.3 inches, so the size is good. You're using actual. This is the one I was most interested in because I'm a big fan already. I have a big Cintiq 22 HD for my production unit right here, big 22 inch one. I love it. It's been nothing but wonderful for me. I passed my old 19 inch down to my daughter. She loves it. Does great work on it. Like I am a giant Wacom fan, but everybody's real tepid on this thing. Hmm. And at the price of $2,294 base. That's too expensive for what I'm trying to do. So that's my reasoning. It's not that I don't like it. It's just kind of weird. And people don't like it. It's they had to return it. It didn't work for a lot of people. Some people's reviews on Amazon are real scathing. And then the reviews I read as comparisons for artists, it's just nobody's really a big fan of it. This may change in a couple versions. I don't know. But it's not the bomb. It's not like their other stuff. The other stuff, best in the world.
Sure, best-in-class art tools.
Yeah.
No argument there, for sure.
So, anyway, it's one of those deals. Brian Ibbett.
Yes.
Let's do this. I got another call.
Okay.
Here's this one. It's about Indians.
Hi, this is Rishi B. calling from Ann Arbor, Michigan, leaving a message for the morning stream. This is in response to a discussion you guys had after Scott went to the Indian restaurant. And Brian... You asked him, wait, which Indian are you talking about? Native American or really from India? And that little bit, it kind of connects to something that's always really ticked me off. I'm an Indian guy from, my parents are from India. And it always really bothered me that Native Americans are called Indians just because some white dude landed in America, saw some brown people and was like, oh, I must be in India.
He's not wrong, dude. It is the stupidest thing.
I mean, that is specifically why I say Native Americans. I don't refer to Native Americans as Indians, because I feel like that is confusing.
I completely agree. And it's not, see, everyone thinks that's like some PC term. It's not.
It's just a clarity term. The only time I don't is when it's an Indian restaurant, because there's Native American restaurants and you don't want to call them a Native. Is that a Native American restaurant?
Yeah. Do you like your Native American restaurant? Or, you know, I like Navajo tacos, for example. But
right.
You're not going to call those Native American tribal tacos. I mean, what are you going to do?
Right.
So, it is dumb. We're in a complete agreement, dude. It's dumb.
Yeah.
It's sure. And you're right. It's like anything that starts out as like, like when people say, oh man, what a gyp. Well, you don't, it started because somebody started saying gypsies were cheap, but it just stuck. And so now people say it all the time. They don't even know the origin of it.
Try to Jew that guy down in price.
All right. I mean, those are both kind of pejoratives, but
right.
Indian. In a way, calling Native Americans Indians when we landed here is also a pejorative, because that's kind of being ignorant, going, oh, it must be from India. Like, what a bunch of dummies. So, yeah, it's stupid. We know. We're aware.
Yeah, Eastern Indian, or East Indian is another way to kind of clarify.
And the problem is you had a very racist early white American prosperity of the 20s, 30s, 40s, if you don't count the Great Depression. But let's say post-World War II, where all the cowboy movies, they were referred to as Indians. Mm-hmm. And they were Indians, and you know, you just called them these.
You play cowboys and Indians. You don't play cowboys and Native Americans.
Yeah, no one ever did that.
Right.
And also, cowboy apparently comes from a pejorative as well. Like, I didn't know this, Brian, but check this out. Cowboy. Oops.
Cowboy. What's his power?
Boy word origin. Here it is. Okay. Cowboy appeared in the English language in 1725. It appears to be a direct English translation of vaquerio, a Spanish word for individual who managed cattle while mounted on horseback. It was derived from vaca, meaning cow, which came from the Latin word vaca. It goes vaca. On to say, where is it?
Vaquero.
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 Let's see.
Or vaquero. I'm sorry, that's probably it. Vaquero. You don't pronounce it qua.
There was something to do with, a significant number of African-American freemen, who used to be slaves, were drawn to cowboy life because there was not much discrimination in the Wild West when it came to African-American black guys on horses. Significant number of Mexicans and Indian Americans, also or American Indians, it says here. Wikipedia is even saying American Indians. Already living in the region, also worked as cowboys. Anyway, not so much a pejorative, but it used to be that if you referred to somebody as a cowboy, you were talking specifically about a different skinned freeman on a horse that wasn't a white dude. So there was a period of that.
Weird. So it didn't even start with Caucasian cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. I love crap like this. Yeah, I could read this stuff all day.
And I'm sure.
Yeah. Anyway. Thanks for the call. If you guys want to call in, it's super damn easy. 801-471-0462. I don't know why I paused at the 4.
Well, because some people, you know, they can't remember all 10 digits. So they've got to pause.
That's
and
a good
then
point.
Do those last two.
So it's parenthetical at 801-471-0462. The website is frogpants.com/TMS. Our email address is themorningstream@gmail.com. Our Twitter accounts are Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morningstream. Support us at patreon.com/TMS and join our Reddit subreddit page, Reddit thing, frogpants.reddit.com. Tomorrow's a new show, Wendy, and all that stuff. Oh, there is a small chance of PM being obliterated by a doctor's appointment. I'm trying to see if I can rearrange it.
Okay.
But PM should happen tomorrow. Cool. But I'll let people know if it changes.
Keep us posted.
I keep you posted. Let's get out of here with some music. What do you got for me today?
I have a song that most people associate with a movie, and it's not. Well, I mean, it is, but it was long older than that.
Okay.
Hey there, Brian and Scott. I wanted to send this one out to all the men and women of Constant Sorrow being honored this Veterans Day, and a day late happy birthday and Semper Fi to my Marine Corps family. I've been doing my own cover explorations with Spotify lately by putting in old favorite songs and just shuffling the results, which is how I found this one. I figured the Tadpole would enjoy or at least get a kick out of the juxtaposition of this interpretation against the original. If you can't get my first choice, Hootie's favorite fast food jingle will have to do.
The tender crisp bacon cheddar ranch.
I'm on point today.
Double ranch.
Mm-hmm.
I miss defending the hobos with my bros, yo.
Aww.
Signed, James, the aircraft mechanic.
And a caveman.
All right.
So the song that he requested is Man of Constant Sorrow, which a lot of people think originated with the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, the Soggy Bottom Boys, which was John Turturro and George Clooney and the guy whose name I can't remember, but he has three names. Three names guy.
Mm-hmm. David Ogden Pierce.
Sure.
Sean Markle Vanilla Man. I don't know what it is.
That's it.
What is it? It's going to bug me now.
He was also in Minority Report.
Yep, he ran the
Tim Blake Nelson.
Tim Blake Nelson. That's it.
Thank you. Oh, I got it before I saw Jackalope quote it.
Yeah.
So there.
I believe you.
Anyway, this is by the Charm City Devils. It was a single they released in 2012. Originally done by Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan actually did the original version of Man of Constant Sorrow long before the Soggy Bottom Boys. Here are the Charm City Devils and their cover of Man of Constant Sorrow.
Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
No, tell me. Wait a minute.